Welcome to Establishing Shots, the podcast about the art, craft, and business of filmmaking. I'm Nick Hilton. We're partnering on this episode with the great film site CineView, which, if you don't already know, is one of the top British film websites for reviews and features, looking at a range of films from independent films, art house films, through to all the blockbusters. That's all available at cine-view.com. That's cine-view.com. Right, so this week I'm here at New Broadcasting House, home of the BBC, with Shaima Bouali, the director of the BBC Arabic Festival. Shaima, hi, welcome. Welcome in your own house, which feels very odd. I've come to you. So the festival starts on the 22nd of March. Tell me, just in brief, what the kind of mission statement of the festival is.
Okay, so basically the festival is, we tag ourselves as presenting films and documentaries from today's Arab world. So it's quite a small festival, but our films are very strong and bold because they all reflect on, like the tag says, today's Arab world. So they all reflect on current social and political situations happening there. So in that sense, it's a topical festival. And we have half nonfiction, half fiction. And even the fiction is a direct reflection of headlines, current headlines from the region.
So it's sort of linked to kind of news and current affairs programming, rather than sort of necessarily the... But is that true of, sorry, I'm digressing from this synoptic briefing immediately. Is that true of Arabic films generally at the moment, that they very heavily tend to be kind of socio-politically engaged in a way that wouldn't be true of English? Or is that just because we're seeing the exports that work for...
You know, yeah, it might be because of the exports. I mean, we do have to weed out films that we don't think are applicable to our tagline. We will get films that are, for example, love stories or stories about, for example, perceptions of beauty or something like that, you know, which you can... Anything can be political or social if you look at it through a certain lens, but I think we are, because BBC Arabic is predominantly a news channel, we like to keep the journalistic angle strong. So that's why we have, for example, our two short films, our two fiction film categories is one's fiction, one's short film, but the other one's topical shorts. So one is more directly to do with the headlines, the other is just generally to do with socio-political and historical kind of contexts.
So just before I go on another rambling digression, what are the kind of highlights this year for you? I mean, maybe you can't say the highlights, make sure don't play favorites, but what do you think are the kind of headline acts?
Yeah, it is hard because it's they're all my children and I love them equally kind of situation. But I think... Oh, yeah, that's hard to say. I think all of the features are really strong this year. We have four feature documentaries. So, for example, on Monday night, we have a film called Amal, in which the director, Mohamed Siam, who's a Paris-based Egyptian director, he followed the life of this young girl for over 10 years. He has home videos and he also has just interviews with her and engagements with her with the camera. We see her go through her adolescence during the very violent uprising that happened in Cairo in 2011, and now she's a young adult. And so it's really interesting to see how a young girl like that is able to sort of assert herself and be strengthened by these violent surroundings that she was very much engaged with, very much politically charged into. And so that's really interesting. That was an interesting profile piece. Another really good sort of self-reflective profile is Room for a Man, in which the director turns the camera on himself, and he starts to question what a sexuality and masculinity is as a homosexual male in a family that really considers masculinity to be sort of a pinnacle of a man's life. And it's very interesting because of the sort of homoerotic ideas that he conveys visually in the film and his interactions with the men that come in to redesign his room in his house. And it's a very, lyrical and very interesting, like visually engaging film. And it's interesting because it's about himself.
I'm just curious about that, just spurring from that. Are these films, and we'll talk about just the programming and the selection process in a second, but are these films that are made with a view to being distributed in predominantly countries like us, predominantly countries like the UK, or are they films that are trying to find a home in Arabic-speaking countries as well?
So it's hard to say, actually. So it's interesting you ask that, because that's sort of an issue that I have to face, and every film is different. We broadcast all the films, or at least we invite all the films to be broadcast on BBC Arabic television in the lead up to the festival, because we televise a lot of the festival, and so we want people at home to have seen the films. So when I have to approach the filmmakers for acquisitions for TV rights, that's when I face this question. And there are some that are unable to display the film to either the entire Arab world or maybe to their city or their country alone because of something contentious that happens within the film or some kind of reputational reflection that the film might have on the character themselves. Personally, it's quite frustrating because I feel like where the movie is made is probably the most important place for the movie to be seen. But I mean, that's just an aspect of what we hope is an ever-growing audience. But it's every film is different. So with film about sexuality, for example, which I guess spurred this question. I think in the Arab world right now, we're actually getting to see a lot of self-reflective films about sort of, how do you say, coming-of-age sexuality films, mm-hmm. right? And they are definitely being screened in the Arab world. Yeah, they are made for everyone, I think.
Let's talk about the programming process. Mm-hmm. How did you settle upon this display of films?
So it's actually, the programming process is a bit different from other festivals. So I'm not allowed to go out and choose films. So what we do is we open a very broad public call for films, which is very much directed towards the Arab world. But it's also very global. We have international filmmakers. We have filmmakers from Canada, Hungary, wherever. Anyway, what we get is a few hundred films by the end of the call. So this year, I think we had about 300-something films. They go through an internal sort of process whereby we make sure the film is of a certain quality, it's the right theme, it's the right details, you know, that have to do with our criteria. And then it goes to a pre-selection committee, and then it goes to the judging committee, who actually, they each get 10 films for each category. And then they actually choose the last five that make it into the program. They also choose the category winner. So the final 20 films that we end up with are chosen by an external panel of judges. So it goes through three stages of rigorous kind of selection, basically.
And what's the sort of breakdown of where those films come from? You mentioned there that some of them come from sort of Arabic diasporic communities. Mm. Do you also have films that are by non-native Arabic speakers?
Yeah. The Hungarian and the Canadian are actually Hungarian and Canadian. Right. They're not of Arab descent. We do have Arab descent Europeans, but we also have Arabs living in the West, as in like in the US or in Europe. But we also have a lot of Arabs in the Arab world. So, for example, we have a few filmmakers coming from Baghdad this year. We have quite a few coming from Beirut. We've got, let's see, who else? We've got from Morocco and from Tunisia. So these are the Arabs living in the Arab world. Otherwise, we've got Christy Garland, who's coming from Canada, Ben Siamate, who's coming from Hungary. His film is about pigeon fighting in Cairo. Christie's film is about a young woman in Gaza who wants to join the police force. But yeah, we get a lot of mixes. In the past, we've gotten French Algerians, we've gotten French Lebanese, we've gotten like all different types.
Yeah. And what about British? Any British filmmakers in?
We've had British, actually. Not this year. No, not this year. But last year, we had Jacob Boswell, who made a film about a non-violent protest in West Bank as led by an arts teacher there. He was from Oxford. He lives in Beirut now. But yeah, we've also had UK-based Iraqi filmmakers. The thing is with the Arab issue, or like the regional politics there, is more and more we're seeing nation state boundaries broken down. So, for example, it would be very rare to get Syrian films from inside Syria. You know, we have a Syrian filmmaker coming from Sweden, who is our Young Journalist Award winner, for example, who won last year, and he's coming back this year. And the idea of the Syrian nation, where is it today? You know, it's all over the world. Mm-hmm. It's all over Europe a lot. So, geographies are breaking down. Everybody's interested in their neighbor. Ethnicities don't really matter when it comes to reflecting on issues that really do matter to everybody.
Yeah, I think you see that in I was looking at the list of British entries to the foreign language Oscar category, which is a really bizarre list. And for a long time, it was just Welsh language entries. And then there was a kind of shift in the last kind of 10, 15 years to more kind of entries from diasporic communities here. And I think it was a Farsi entry maybe 2 years ago. I can't think what it was this year. But it's interesting the way that it's kind of become more a part of what we're seeing in this country as our film culture, having these different community voices kind of channeled through whatever financial clout, the British kind of art scene can offer. Do you find that most of the interest in the festival is from Arabic speakers, or is it just, you know, people like me?
It's pretty mixed. We do have a lot of Arabic speakers who come. I really can't tell you why, but this being the BBC, we have a very mixed crowd, because the BBC does reach out to we're in London, but generally British-based audience, and us being here in London, I think obviously the mailing list is huge, and so the people who tend to come are half and half. I would always say every year we look at that question, and it comes out to be half and half, half Arabic speaking, half not.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And presumably when you do Q&As and stuff, what language do you do? You do them in Arabic translated?
Oh, no, everything's in English. Everything's in English. The films are all subtitled into English, no matter what language they start out with. Most of them are Arabic language, but we have Kurdish films this year, for example. Mm-hmm. In the past, we've had Armenian, we've had French, we've had Spanish, we've had all the different languages that are spoken in the Arab world. But they're all subtitled into English. The Q&As are all for English-speaking audience. We are in London. It's a London event.
Do you think there's an increasing appetite for Arabic language films or films from the Arab world, or has it been fairly static for the last, decade or so?
No, I think there was a huge spike in 2011.
Right.
In interest.
Why?
Because of the revolutions. There was this huge, massive youth movement that was basically that took everyone by storm. It had everything that everybody, it started out, being quite idealistic and romantic, in the sense that all these young people were able to mobilize and bring down governments in ways that nobody has ever imagined. That was 8 years ago now. Things have changed, but there was a heroic kind of aspect to these stories. Mm-hmm. And people were all of a sudden, I think, impressed and interested in this bravery that took place. And in in turn, that movement also catapulted expression and production in the Arab world. So not only is there more interest, but there's also more production, more being done. But at that time, there all the festivals started to have an active interest in Arab films, and they wanted more and more of them. And so the bigger festivals started to demand premieres of different Arabic films and documentaries. And it's still going on now. And I think if you look at it even more globally and more commercially, I mean, the fact that the Oscars now for the last 5 years have always had a few Arabic films, mm-hmm. you know, from Sarah Ishaq's short documentary from Yemen to Firas Fayyad from Syria. This year's Nadine Lebaki from Lebanon. Every year we have an Arab film, whether in the documentary or in the foreign language or in the best picture, or, you know, and this is kind of unprecedented when back in the day it was just like Omar Sharif. That was the only, mm-hmm. you know, Arab in the Hollywood landscape.
But do you feel like it spiked in 2011 and has sort of declined since then, or sort of cooled?
No, I don't think it's cooled just yet. I think it's still going on. I think definitely like between 11 and say 13, 14, it was a spike. Mm-hmm. It became almost trendy. But now I think it's plateaued, but it's still there. I mean, you have a lot of Arab actually film festivals that take place here in London. We're not the only ones, but which is why we have to keep our remit so tight. Mm-hmm. So you have like Safar, which is a week long. It takes place at the ICA. It's every other year. It's run by the Arab British Center. You have Shubak, which is a full arts, contemporary arts festival, which is also every year. And it's going to take place this summer. They have a strong film program, and then you've got like the London Palestine Film Festival, which is annual, and it's going to be in November. You've got other events taking place, and then also the one-off screenings that different galleries and organizations put together, you know. You know, everyone from the Tate to whoever, you know. There is a lot going on in terms of Arabic film.
Is there a danger, I guess, just thinking about what you said about the spike in 2011 and also seeing now that kind of it feels like the Arabic language films that get cut through in terms of the US and UK markets are to do with the ongoing unrest? And is there a danger that the interest in Arab films is so pegged to turbulence in the region that it's sort of an odd kind of hedge against the kind of upset, socioeconomic upset in there that the arts community thrives? Or does that just happen everywhere that there is, you know, important political, military actions?
I mean, I think about that a lot, and especially in the last 8 years, I say we as in me and my peers, we think about that a lot. Is this just a trend because of the news, you know? And in kind of like if you flip that, is it then also, does it become our duty to sort of express the more human and artistic side behind the news? So if people are interested in the news, is it our duty to kind of offset what the hard headlines and say the hard journalistic parts, and like offset it with the creative artistic sort of reflections on the same stories, you know? So I mean, it's a bit of a catch-22, because we want people to be interested, but we don't want it to be because of the destruction curious, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can probably say that when there are more headlines, there are more audience to screenings. In other Arab-based events that I've worked on, that has definitely been the case. More headlines means more audience. But when I think about other regions, I mean... Like, for example, it's interesting because, like, let's say right now, Latin America, like in South America, there's a lot going on, right? We're not seeing a huge interest. I don't know if it's because there hasn't been product for there to be demand, mm-hmm. or, I mean, I can't really say.
But you would naturally, if a sort of liberal Venezuelan movie came out now, they would find it a lot easier to sell it from a PR angle, I guess, is the thing.
Yeah.
In terms of Western journalistic curiosity.
Yeah, which is a shame that's how things are framed often. I don't know. I guess that's how, that's what leads the mind to open, is the more you hear about it, no matter how you hear about it. I mean, maybe if, like, I mean, let's say Roma, for example. I think that people are now all of a sudden also more interested in films from Mexico because this amazing film from Mexico came out. Okay, it's not because something political has happened in Mexico. Or is it? Is everybody interested in, oh, what's going to happen to the wall and all the Mexicans are going to, like, you know, stand up for themselves and there's going to be this, you know, kind of strength. So let's see more stuff from Mexico. But we don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's an ongoing question. It's one of those kind of chicken and egg questions. You don't want to say, yeah, that's the case. But at the same time, you feel it's part of the case. It's a tough one.
So just to leave that for alone for a second, would you classify these as sort of art house movies, independent movies? Well, obviously. What would... This is a question not really related to the festival, but if I went to a cinema in Cairo or, you know, Riyadh, I don't know if they are public cinemas in Riyadh.
There are now, yes.
What would be showing there? Presumably not these sort of films.
Presumably not. So in Cairo, you would see more of the sort of commercial films playing. So like right now, so Egypt has always been known for its kind of movie churning machine. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like Bollywood, right. How like there's a lot of just very commercial, right. Like fast selling ticket sort of comedy, slapstick, that kind of thing. So that's probably what you would see in a lot of the cinemas in Cairo. And I mean, not to be specific about every city. Unfortunately, in the region, I think they're more interested in Hollywood and blockbuster kind of movies. But at the film festivals in the region, yeah, these films will play in specialty pop-up cinemas and art house cinemas. Yeah, these are the kinds of films that play. So in the region, these would be considered art house. They wouldn't be at your local
multiplex.
Yes.
And are there countries that have a sort of more developed sense of sort of art house cinema? I imagine Beirut to have a trendy cinemas.
Yeah. Beirut will like have the Metropolis and they have different kind of galleries that will do film screenings and that kind of thing. Cairo the same. They've got Zawiya, which is a program, Cinematheque, which is also a program. So they have, but these are again, they're art house. They're people who are interested in that scene almost. Who will attend these things. They're not the multiplex ticket buyers, you know. So every town's got it. I mean, even in London, I mean, so we've got like the Curzon, for example, which is a little bit more international and on the cusp of commercial and art house, right? So you've got that. But then you've got a place like Close Up. But like a place like Close Up over off Brick Lane, that's probably like one of very few in this big, great city that will be predominantly art house, you know, like the stuff that they, that, but I mean, but I guess it's a little bit more ubiquitous here than it is over there. So it's shades, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, Beirut, Cairo, maybe Dubai, Tangiers, there's a little bit of a art house cinema kind of place, but other cities maybe a bit less so.
Just finally, I always think it's interesting what the kind of first point on a press release for any movie or festival is. And the first point on the press release I saw on this, and it's a very fine press release, but it says, I can't remember what the exact number is, I should have printed it off, but a record perhaps number of female filmmakers in this year's film festival. Can you tell me a little bit about kind of whether there was a concerted effort to try and get more female filmmakers in, and sort of how the development of women filmmakers in the region has kind of translated to the festival?
So we always want more female filmmakers. It was not a concerted effort. And actually that is not just about female filmmakers, but it's also about women's stories. So women's stories meaning stories that focus on women, I guess. So this year we have like we have kind of mother's stories, for example, Rhonda, a story about a Lebanese woman who married a Palestinian militant, and her son is now the director of this film. He's recounting the story of Amal that I told you earlier, the story of Wala, where her mother is a political prisoner and she wants to be join the police force. So how does she negotiate something like that? You know, we have Katia Jarjoura, who's Lebanese but Paris-based, and she's got this amazing short film called Only Silence, which I hope to see her turn it into a feature. So I feel like it's not just in the female filmmakers, but also just like turning the camera on stories that have to do with women, having to do with like rape during war, you know, like the weaponization of rape, and you know, motherhood, and how mothers and wives deal with political imprisonment. It's actually an interesting thing, because I've seen that sort of gradually on the rise in this festival quite a bit. It would be nice to see also more like historic perspectives on different women and their roles historically in the region. But I wouldn't be able to tell you what the science is behind mm-hmm. that. No. I think it's good that there is more interest in that.
In a rough sense, I mean, I guess the entire film industry is trying to commission more films by and about women, program more films by and about women. It's sort of a big conversation point, and has been for some years. Do you feel like there's an extra pressure, or maybe even an extra like level of condescension when people talk about films coming from the Arab world, where I guess women's rights have been more late to develop? And do you feel like there's an extra scrutiny on the role of women in your program?
So it's interesting you ask about that. You know, we have an event that's specifically going to be talking about the role of women in Arab film industry. It's actually going to be a live broadcast by the Cultural Frontline, a World Service show. And it's on the last day of the festival. It's on the Tuesday. A bunch of women who are filmmakers are going to come and talk about all of these things. But I think the way the film industry works in the Arab world, it's not quite the same as here. There are a few things about that. I think that on one hand, it might not be the most popular answer, but the fact that the arts aren't considered a man's job. So we've been lucky enough to have more female filmmakers and female in the arts, mm-hmm. Females in the arts. But also because of the structure of filmmaking in the Arab world is very independent. So people kind of, they get their idea, they get their script, they start fundraising. So women don't have to go out and sit and wait for a producer to commission them or to give them a green light. They go out and they get their own money, and they can get that from either public grants or private funds. So it's a kind of a different mechanism and a different viewpoint than to here.
It's interesting to like, because people maybe perceive something that is slightly different from the reality in terms of the way the culture has developed.
Yeah, and also, I mean, it's like there is always from every region, and in every region, like no matter where, there's always that foreign perspective, right? And I think that there is always sort of an imbalance between what people consider to be like the female strength and the female kind of meekness from the Arab world, you know? I think that the Saudi women driving business has overshadowed a lot of what does take place. I think in Eastern countries you've seen quite a bit more, you know, female leaders, you know, maybe not in the Arab world, but also I think contexts are different. So like what I'm explaining about the way that the film industry works, you know, it's not, we don't have top head male producers that we need to rely on, you know. In fact, some of the most powerful women in production in the Arab world are women. You know, the CEO of the Doha Film Institute, which gives money to films all over the world, is a woman, Fatma Al-Rumehi. She's a mother of six, and she's awesome. You know, Rima Mismar is heads the AFAQ, which is also like a fantastic Beirut-based arts funding organization. And these are probably the two biggest funders in the Arab world. You know, you'll see the Doha Film Institute logo on a lot of films. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what that's going to tell us for the future or how it defines today, but it's a good thing.
Great. Well, fantastic. Thank you for talking to me. Can you just remind me of where and when everything is?
So the festival takes place from March 22nd to the 27th here at Broadcasting House in W1A1AA. It is absolutely free. All you need to do is go online and get your ticket. And the URL is bbcarabic.com/festival.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, and please leave us a review there if you've listened this far. If you've listened this far, you're clearly a huge fan. Please leave us a 5-star review and say some kind words, and it helps people find us. And you can also listen on Spotify, TuneIn, all those various places. And if you're interested in advertising on the podcast, drop me a line at nick@podopods, that's podotpods.com, and we can have a chat about that. Thanks for listening, and speak to you soon.